At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Football is back. And so is winning season at MyBookie. NFL, college football, and a brand new cash-out system give you options on how to bet and to win all season long. First two legs of your parlay hit? Great. Get out while the getting is good. Cash out and use the funds on another bet, or let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Use early cash outs as a tool to stay in control of the action at MyBookie. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now and register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. Just use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. And for a limited time, a free chip to use in the MyBookie casino. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie. This is the ZABEcast. From the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Here we go. Feeling kind of mean. Tuesday, September 2nd, 2025. Welcome to the show that is football. We got college football week one in the books. A ton of storylines to talk about, including the rocky start for Alabama. Florida State might be back. Miami over Notre Dame. Nil portal quarterbacks in the form of Carson Beck. We got Lee Corso's send-off, the overhyping of Arch Manning, and a whole lot more to talk about. Plus, we got the NFL ready to go. There's more add-ons from the Micah Parsons trade that rocked the NFL late last week. And we got Andy Pollin coming up here in just a second. I want to start, though, with the Alabama angle on the weekend. They lost handily to Florida State, a two-win team last year that is retooling on the fly and adding reinforcements on the fly, including a quarterback from Boston College who was writing the biggest checks you've ever seen in the offseason. Talking about Alabama, they don't scare us, they don't have Nick Saban anymore. And this kid absolutely lit it up. Thomas Castellanos. Florida State was ready, Florida State was better, Florida State pantsed Kalen DeBoer and Alabama. Alabama now in the last 10 games is 5-5 under DeBoer. And the SEC schedule has yet to even begin. And with LSU's big win at Death Valley, the other Death Valley, Clemson, against the other Tigers, Clemson, it is going to be, I think, a very rough year for Alabama. As somebody pointed out, the last time Alabama was mid or bad, social media didn't exist. You got to go back to 2006 to realize, oh, right, the drive-by and the bombing runs and the memes and the dunking on and the spiking the football in Alabama's face, if this season goes as poorly as some think it might will, compared to, of course, Alabama standards. I'm not saying they're going to totally suck, but it ain't Nick Saban's regime anymore, is going to be something to watch. Now, how does an empire that one man built fall apart so quickly, it seems? And the answer is simple. Not that Kalen DeBoer is a bad coach per se. He doesn't have a long resume in Division I. He was a great NAIA champion at Sioux Falls. And then he went to Fresno State for a two-year hop. And then he went to Washington for a two-year hop. And now he's got a massive contract with Alabama, 8 years, a buyout that is so steep that as soon as people started looking into it, they're like, Like looking into getting out of your lease for an expensive sports car. Once you realize what it's going to cost, you're like, all right, I'm just going to drive it for another year and a half. I'm not getting out of this. Alabama is a prime example of when greatness, when coaches like Nick Saban, when they build something that is incredible, that is enduring, that has withstood all kinds of people taking a run at it, it's because of the little things. The little things day to day. There was clips of the game that were circulating on social media showing players absolutely not giving nearly good enough effort on plays. Number 18 for Alabama, boy, there was a play. He was just loping after a runner for Florida State who ended up in the end zone. And you're like, that effort ain't going to get it done. It's the kind of thing that you know the Nictator would have lit up the following day in film study. But then again, that's what is also what makes great coaches so fascinating. And we'll see as right now, as I speak, you've got Bill Belichick making his college debut at Chapel Bill. I've seen sweatshirts, t-shirts, hats. There's Air Jordan, J-O-R-D-O-N, for Jordan Hudson, with a silhouette of Belichick, the beached whale on his back, with his feet propped up, holding Ms. Hudson up in a superwoman pose, and with Air Jordan on it. And the quote, we're not going to talk about that, from that famous interview. We'll see how Belichick does. But Saban was so good for so many reasons. And following his act was always going to be very hard. And it makes it harder when you're following a guy like that who has built something. And so, therefore, everyone involved, the players and the remaining staffers, whatnot, they think, we're Alabama. Well, this is Alabama. We can just, let's get the mascot and the cheerleaders on the field, and then people will crumble looking at us. Mighty Alabama. Well, Saban's gone. And these other schools have been waiting and waiting for the day. And they are bringing it. Saban was so good at every day making sure, are we doing the little stuff right? After a win, Saban could be the biggest pain in the ass you've ever seen because there'd been mistakes all over the place and they still won, and he was not going to let his team get away with it. But despite all that, he had a human touch about him as a coach in which players loved to play for him. They didn't just fear him. And the best example is of the iconic clip of Rob Ezell, E-Z-E-L-L. Pretty much a non-significant player. I don't know if he ever played in any games or whatnot, but he had the best Saban impression, and they asked the Nictator about it once, and here was his response with Rob Ezell's impersonation.
A couple of them that can really imitate me. You know, if you really want to have a good interview, get Ezell sometime. You know, he can talk just like me, give speeches just like I give him.
Hey, guys, we got a lot of guys here. You come to practice, and you don't make weight. And you tell me you don't eat anything. Well, I know the air ain't got calories, guys. Let me tell you this. It's about being a champion.
I've seen bits and pieces of it. You know, he doesn't like to do it in front of me too much.
Today's practice was awful. And I'm going to tell you this. The day I can't get you guys to do it right, I'm going to go to the lake, sit on the ducks, and mush the ducks in your
Oh, my God. It's not only so funny about how, That one clip encapsulates three things to me. One, a window inside what a maniac Nick Saban must have been as a coach for details and making sure his players followed all the rules absolutely to the letter of his program. That's number one. Number two is that when you watch Ezell do that imitation, every one of the players was laughing and a huge smile on their face. White guys, black guys, starters, backups, walk-ons, scrubs, stars, they're dying laughing because they're part of a brotherhood, because Saban was able to get them to buy in, not just to him and his way, but also each other. And so the locker room culture was super healthy. And the third part of it is that Saban knew that the imitation was going on, but didn't get mad about it, and sort of mirthfully kind of laughed and like, yeah, he's kind of got me down. He doesn't like to do it in front of me, but he's the best one when it comes to mimicking who I am, which means that Saban was grounded. What does DeBoer bring to the table? I don't know, but Bama fans are saying this dummy just sits there and looks like he's a deer in headlights on the sideline. And so we shall see, but it's going to be a fascinating case study of another coach trying to follow a legend's footsteps. 1 week in, and already college football is cooking. Coming up, Andy Pollin with his usual Monday, now Tuesday chat with me. We got a lot more from college football Saturday and Sunday and Monday, plus a bunch of other stuff as well. You're listening to the Zabecast.
You know, one of the things I love most about Indeed is that it makes hiring so fast. In the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. If you are overwhelmed by the hiring process, or you've been struggling to get your job post seen, listen up. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. Your post jumps right to the top of the page for relevant candidates, so you reach exactly who you want faster. And it makes a huge difference, according to Indeed data. Sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this podcast will get $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the podcast by saying you heard about it right here on this pod. Indeed.com/Charlie Zulu Alpha Bravo Echo. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed, is all you need.
It's Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances and save an additional $1,000 when you buy four select LG major appliances. Plus, get a free DeWalt 20-volt max 5-amp-hour battery when you buy a select DeWalt 20-volt max tool. Get the job done for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/26. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See associate or Lowe's.com for more details and qualifying items.
Football is back, and so is winning season at MyBookie. NFL, college football, and a brand new cash-out system give you options on how to bet and to win all season long. First two legs of your parlay hit? Great. Get out while the getting is good. Cash out and use the funds on another bet, or let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Use early cash outs as a tool to stay in control of the action at MyBookie. To get started, go to MyBookie.ag now and register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. Just use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. And for a limited time, a free chip to use in the MyBookie casino. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
How you doing on this Monday, September 1st? The end of the ride, the end of summer, sort of. Meteorological summer does not end. But, you know, with football upon us, this is kind of it. How did you spend your weekend?
Well, kind of like I've spent other weekends. I did go over to my daughter and son-in-law's house, played with the grandkids yesterday. We had a little barbecue.
Nice.
Now I'm getting ready to watch the much-overhyped Belichick Bowl.
I know. I spent the first 10 minutes talking about the phenomenon of Nick Saban and the poor guy, Caleb DeBoer, who's got to try to
follow in his footsteps. And I know you and I have talked about this before. Throughout history, when it comes to coaches, especially at the college level, both in basketball and football, God help the guy that takes over for a legend, right?
Yeah, Kalen DeBoer, not Caleb.
Kalen DeBoer, thank you.
And he was, and this is, I guess, went into the thinking on this. I guess it was smart. The buyout's $70 million. So that buys him some job security. But we already saw Jimbo Fisher bought out of Texas A&M for about that. So who knows? But it's a disaster right
what
now.
What do you make of the people saying, oh, now that everyone can pay players legally, suddenly Alabama does not have an advantage? Chin.
Yeah, I mean, I think they have a nice war chest to get players. They just don't have Nick Saban to attract them. And Kalen DeBoer is a nice story and did a really good job at Washington. But that ain't Alabama, where Bear Bryant built that program.
Yeah, yeah. I was talking as well about how, you know, the last time Alabama either was mid or sucked, basically, there's no social media. We're talking 2006. The iPhone came around about that time. Social media followed in his footsteps. This is a different world that Alabama's going to be flying into.
Yeah, they had Mike Shula for a while. He was mediocre. Remember the guy who got the job and I don't think ever coached a game because there was some story about
Mike Price.
Yeah.
Mike Price, who I think came from Washington State.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And it was something of a Sports Illustrated story where he was having an affair or something and yelling Roll Tide. Or I mean, the details are fuzzy. But
no, I remember it. He had gotten overserved at a charity golf tournament in the summer, which can happen. And he ended up going to a strip club. And Sports Illustrated reported on this, which I don't know if it's responsible or not, but they did, that he was so hammered that he was just throwing money at the strippers and they were saying Roll Tide. And he was like, oh, it's rolling, baby. It's rolling. And I guess they consider that too much of an embarrassment. Whereas today, shit, you think the SEC would have said, well, it's just the SEC. It just means more down here, doesn't it?
Well, can he win games? That's really all that matters.
They didn't even let him. They pretty much knocked him out, hired in December and fired in May. Hired in December and fired in May. But we're talking, you know, we're talking the, was it Mike DeBose? Let me get the Alabama list of seasons because it's been a while since they've been bad. Of course, Alabama had a bunch of wins vacated by the NCAA for, you know, irregularities in recruiting and whatnot. Mike DeBose. Yeah, Mike DeBose was bad. Dennis Franchione was bad. Mike Shula was bad. And then the Nicktator came in, and it was winning, winning, winning for a long-ass time.
Yeah, he lied about it at Miami. He said, I'm not going to Alabama. And then he went to Alabama.
I know, you got to do that. So what did you make of the big first game of the weekend, Texas versus Ohio State, and the utter dud laid by one Arch Manning, who we said last week, stupidly, he's the son of Archie. He's the grandson. He's Cooper's son. So I want to clear that up. You and I were just rolling and we committed a huge mistake, a pick six of information.
I didn't catch that. Okay. Look, it's not just that it's been the 2 years at Texas where, you know, we're waiting to find out. He has been hyped for the last 6 years. He was right. And he was a freshman in high school when we started hearing about him as the next generational quarterback. Here's something that stuck out, and I ran this by my son, and he didn't think it was that big of a deal. But Arch Manning also played basketball in high school, and he played at the 2A level in New Orleans. And I'm familiar with that part of the country. Basketball is not that big a deal. He averaged 2 points a game. It would seem
That's
to me an it? Athlete of that, yes, an athlete of that level, even though his sport was football, that he'd be, if not the best, one of the best basketball players on the team. That's not to say he's not a great athlete, but it just stuck with me like, that doesn't really seem right if he's going to be all that.
I saw one clip of him against one particular opponent in high school where the kids on the other team running around after him looked frankly pathetic. And now I don't know if he played against a much lesser level of competition. This all had to be factored in when they said, oh my God, this guy's going to be great. His numbers were great. He comes from obviously a good bloodline, but was his competition in high school really ass? I don't know.
Well, sure. He played at the same high school that that Peyton and Eli played at.
Okay.
And they were number one picks.
Okay. So I guess they just assumed he was going to be as good. I mean, it's not over for him yet, but the fact that it took 2 years and he couldn't knock out Quinn Ewers said to me, you know what? I'm not so sure he's as good as everyone says, but you got guys like Paul Feinbaum calling him a generational talent.
Oh yeah, he sat right across from Tim Tebow and said he's as good. He's the next Tebow.
Yeah.
And also, the incredible hype machine for this also leads to the opening game where you're playing the defending champs on their field. That's not the best way to start. And
right.
it just had that feel about it. Like, okay, if he's this good, he's got to be this good out of the gate. I go back to Spurrier, too. You know, we worked with Spurrier for 2 years. And, well, he wasn't a very good NFL coach. We always liked his honesty. And before the season, he goes, well, you know, he couldn't beat out a seventh-round draft pick. I'm not sure how good he really is.
Right. I remember when he talked about, Jim Haslett or Hazlett.
Yeah, Hazlett, yep.
Sleeping on the floor in his office, and he'd come off like a 5-win season. Like, well, it didn't work too good for him now, did it?
Didn't do Hazlett a lot of good, did it?
Right. Yeah. The hype machine in sports now has never been more industrialized or mechanized. And if you're Feinbaum, who Ric Flair, the nature boy, wrestling legend, said should be expelled from ESPN because of his shitty takes about Arch Manning, and I guess Ric Flair might be an Ohio State fan for all I know,
mm-hmm.
It's just kind of interesting. To me, Andy, Feinbaum has gone the way of Jaworski. At one point, I looked at Feinbaum like I did Jaworski at one point, as an honest broker of opinion, as somebody who was not just going to say anything to get over on the four-letter network in the Connecticut woods. And now I believe that Feinbaum is nothing but a say-bot. My term for he's a robot that will say whatever it takes to stir things up. He's a say-bot. He doesn't give a shit how dumb he looks now and how bad he's getting roasted. His bosses at ESPN probably love the fact he's going to get a lot of clicks.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I don't know about that. And
Jaws is the same way. You remember when Jaws said about Kaepernick, I truly believe Colin Kaepernick may become the greatest quarterback of all time. You remember right?
That's a huge miss. Feinbaum is a writer. Jaworski played in the NFL for like 17 years. I think his level of football knowledge is a little bit different. And, I also think that there is that encouragement at the four letters to have a strong take. Even if it's loud wrong, you can always correct it. So that may have something to do with it. But, yeah, the hyping of Arch Manning, if he does turn out to be a zero, is going to be one of the all-time stories in football. It really is.
Yeah. It's just one game. It's all overreaction. But still, it's fascinating to watch. Now let's talk about the Corso final show. First and foremost, before we even get to the final show and the final reveal and the Brutus the Buckeye head and everything else, or Brutus Buckeye, not Brutus the Buckeye. Brutus, but I don't need any more emails. No more emails, please. Do you know how he got to the game, Lee Corso?
I assume by airplane.
Yes.
Okay. What else?
He flew Southwest.
Okay.
I know this because I saw it, and then I had to confirm it with Gronk 3, and sure enough, Gronk 3 said yes. Lee Corso was greeted by the gate agents at the Southwest Airlines terminal at Orlando International and given a standing ovation by fans in the waiting area and presented with a bottle of champagne and, like, some other gift. Southwest, Andy.
What's the problem? I don't understand.
The problem is Herbie's fucking dog flies in a private jet and stays in a Four Seasons with Herbie on the road. They couldn't send the PJ to go get Lee Corso one last time. He's standing in line, A23 boarding for a middle seat. What?
Well, you know, maybe he was offered the private plane and said, I don't need it. There's a direct flight from Orlando to Columbus.
Okay, that's the dumbest. You did not just say that, did you?
I just said that.
That's
yes,
the dumbest take ever. You were offered a private jet and you go, nah, I'll fly Southwest.
Well, the private jet
he's
for Herb
90
Street is a little bit different in that Herb Street, I believe, did the LSU game that night. And so he had to fly from Columbus to they were playing at Clemson, I guess. So he had to fly
Columbus
from there. So
down to Clemson. Right. Oh, but that's different because he needs that. Because the money for that is different than the money they could have spent on Lee Corso just
so
one
you're saying,
fucking time. Yes, I'm saying.
You're
this
saying.
This is ESPN being so cheap.
How do you know the details?
It should offend you.
It should not, because I actually worked for ESPN.
You're never going to work for them again. Stop kissing ass. Go on.
But I don't feel like I was mistreated there. The per diem was kind of low, but there was a lot of free food around, so I was okay.
Andy,
but
don't get me started. You were mistreated, but I'm not getting into that. That's your story to tell.
Okay, but here's the story we don't know, is that Lee Corso might just be the kind of guy who says, rather than spend that kind of money on a private jet, I got the airport, which is really close to me. I can get an Uber. I can get a cab. I get on a Southwest flight. Yeah. It drops me off in Columbus. Yeah. Somebody from ESPN picks me up.
Yeah.
I'm sure
he said no to that. Yeah, of course, yeah. No, ESPN is cheap, and this was tacky, and you should be offended, but I can't help you if you're not. Let's move on. That said, okay, they could have done a whole piece on it, by the way. We're going to pick up Lee in his final game, and we're flying down there. We've got special friend A and special friend B and former player C, and they're going to greet him at his house, and they're going to get in a limo, and we're going to film it all. Because you know they've filmed what it's like with Herbie and the dogs on the road. I've seen those fluff pieces. Anyway, that notwithstanding, it was a wonderful send-off and tribute that he was in the stadium, in the horseshoe, in front of 100,000 people, the band spelling out Corso behind him, the audio from the final headgear reveal piped in, and then the closing the show with Corso in a tuxedo and the Brutus headgear on, waving to the crowd in a standing ovation.
Yeah,
pretty
well
cool.
Done.
Pretty damn cool.
And people don't remember this, but when he started at ESPN in 1987, he was, you know, kind of a strong take football guy, a guy who'd been a coach. He was not the grandfatherly guy who would put on the mascot's head and shake his pencil at you and say, not so fast, my friend. He really transitioned into becoming that guy.
Really?
And you look this up. And same with Vitale to some degree. If you watch Vitale tapes from like the 80s, he is as different than he is now. The thing I liked about Corso versus Vitale, and I think Vitale's done some wonderful things in his life, including raising millions and millions of dollars for cancer research, but I found Corso to be actually funny. I don't really find Vitale to be funny. I just see him being Vitale, you know?
Right. Yeah, I think you're right on that. My favorite tweet was, the European mind cannot comprehend 100,000 football fans in a stadium cheering a 90-year-old with a tuxedo wearing a giant mascot head getting a standing ovation.
Right. But that's his legacy.
Yeah.
It's the mascot heads.
Yeah. The sad part is, if you watched any other parts of that iconic show, College Game Day, you realized how it had to be his last show, because he's just in too failing of health. And this is another subject that you and I have talked about on the air and off, about how tough it is when legends in broadcasting or show business just hang on too long.
Yeah, I think this was a little bit of a shove that got him out the door, because
shove.
After he had a stroke, It was really tough to watch at times. So I think ESPN said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you this last show. They did the same thing. Although Hubie Brown, I think they wanted more of him, but he did the same thing on Christmas doing one last game.
Was it Bear Bryant who said, I don't want to retire because next thing after that is to die?
Which is what happened with him. He died 2 months after he coached his last game.
But he did say that, though, right?
I believe that's right. And people look different then than they look now. You know, Bear Bryant in his 50s looked 80. He died at 69. That's pretty remarkable. But he was he liked his bourbon. He liked his cigarettes, and
healthcare wasn't what it was. Yeah, what it is today back then. So anyway, I hope Lee Corso can enjoy at least some more golden years, plural. But man, at 90 and sounding the way he does, I just don't know. They're not going to do the headgear anymore. I don't know if they're going to try to bring on another ex-coach who's a bit colorful or just roll with the tank-topped punter as their sort of energy element. But the show is going to definitely miss something without Lee Corso.
It will, but I like the chemistry, and I didn't expect it at all. But Saban is great on television.
He really is good, isn't he?
And the chemistry that he's got with McAfee, which I never would have expected, is good. So it's going to be a different show, but it is considered by people who work there the best show on the network.
Yeah,
the best show.
Did you see the Fox version with Dave Portnoy from Barstool? Did you see what Portnoy did as sort of the designated heel in enemy country as a Michigan fan at Ohio State?
So I wore a t-shirt that said Michigan never loses to Ohio State.
And right? He also got booed, and then he egged it up. He's like, boo me all you want. You can't beat us. We're in your head. You didn't see any of that? Does that
I just saw
you at all?
I watch his pizza reviews, which I really like. But I just saw a couple of still shots. I didn't really – I mean, I knew what his role was there. And wasn't a bad idea to hire him. I think that's okay. And the fact that Ohio State said you can't come in the building was probably also helpful to them. It's a show. It's show business.
Yeah. Although they're not letting him sit at the adults table at Thanksgiving. They don't let him sit on the set. He's sort of an accessory piece. And imagine this, you're Fox, you've got the rights to this game and to the Big Ten, and you willingly let ESPN move their studio show inside the stadium for Corso's final headgear thing. Like, these networks used to be in fierce rivalries where they would say, no, we're not going to allow it. Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, but they also benefited from, I guess, simulcasting the pick that Corso made.
Did they simulcast it? I don't know. Or did they show a highlight of it after they went on the air at noon? I don't know. Either way, speaking of pettiness, you saw where Tulane wanted to wear white jerseys against Northwestern to honor the 20th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina, because I guess the program wore that. And Northwestern was like, nope, 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 that's nope. You said you would not. We're going to wear white, and so sorry, no. And Northwestern got rolled.
Good. I don't understand why it was so important for them to wear white.
Well, I don't know. It was just kind of dumb. Yeah. Okay, one more thing on Corso. You know he went 6-for-6, right?
Yeah.
His picks. He went 6-for-6 in his picks. Don't well me on this. If you were to have played his 6 games that he picked as a money line parlay, meaning outright winners, you would have turned $100 into $11,000.
That's tremendous, but the fact that he went to Florida State probably influenced that pick. The fact that he was at Ohio State probably influenced that pick. So, yeah, you can say the others were good, but, there were extenuating circumstances there.
Andy, 6-for-6.
That's good.
And there were 3 dogs in the mix. LSU was plus 185.
Okay,
Florida
so
State
worried.
Plus 350 and Miami plus 130. You're not going to give Lee his due? Come on,
well,
man.
You were just lamenting that he wasn't going to be on TV anymore, needed something to do. Make him a tout. Let him have a FanDuel commercial. I'm Lee Corso. Here's my picks.
Oh, my God. Okay. Some other stuff from the weekend. The Green Bay Packers, after you know, the fact they've got number 11, Micah Parsons' number, tied up with wide receiver Jaden Reed, made the decision to allow Micah to roll out with the number one jersey, which has last been worn over 120 years ago, or not 120, but like 100 years ago, by one Curly Lambeau.
Yeah.
The very name of the guy that's on the stadium, the founder, co-founder of the Packers and head coach of the Packers. I think his real name is Earl Lewis, but they call him Curly because of his wonderful curly locks. And they've not issued it since. Do you think the Packers have made a mistake in bending over like this?
No. And once they went back to the numbering system that they had prior to, I think, 73 or 74, where they made it all, you know, oh, you're a lineman. You can't wear a number, you know, in the 40s or whatever. I think that it's fine. To me, he likes 11. 11 wasn't available. Usually there's a big to-do about buying it or some guy holding out for more money. The hell with it. Let him wear number one. It's fine.
There are limited photos of Curly Lambeau playing football. There are some photos of him wearing number 20, but it's a very small 20 in a circle on what looks like a very dingy brown, you know, jersey. I joked on Twitter. I said, yes, Lambeau wore 20 as well periodically, but he was also have known to have worn damp sweater and muddy shirt as jersey numbers.
I wonder about this too. I thought the first numbering system in sports came when the Yankees started to wear them in the late 20s. And they did it based on batting order. That's why Babe Ruth wore 3 and Lou Gehrig wore 4. I don't know if football had numbers prior to that. They may have, but I'm not sure about that.
Yeah. Well, when I mentioned this to my wife and daughters at the dinner table tonight, as soon as I said Curly Lambeau, my youngest daughter, Megan, just burst out laughing. And she's like, Curly, that sounds like such a name from the 1920s. And I'm like, yep. And I'm like, it wasn't his real name. It, you know, it was his nickname, whatever. And so then I got to explain to the girls, you know, the history of the Packers, how he was the co-founder and then later on the coach, and how it was the Packers forming an alliance with the Chicago Bears, believe it or not, that helped ensure their survival in the nascent beginnings of professional tackle football, which prompted my wife and daughters to go, really? Like, it wasn't a thing? And I go, no, it was, you know, college football was what it was all about.
Right.
Like, yes, we're playing for Yale. We got to go beat Harvard this week. Let's get our felt pens and go on out and cheer on good old Yale. Or, you know, Newt Rockne and Notre Dame. Like, that was the reason to watch and care about football. But the pro version was struggling to even find a niche.
Yes, and they could thank Red Grange for launching it. Red Grange was like the Caitlin Clark of the NFL.
That's a take right there.
Well, because you're right that professional football was basically nowhere in the 20s. He came out of Illinois, the Wheaton Iceman, and he'd run for like 6 touchdowns in a game, and everybody, you know, was in the golden age of sports, was turned on by Red Grange. Right. And right after his season ended, they went on a barnstorming tour with the Chicago Bears. And they played a game at Yankee Stadium, might have been against the Giants. And they had like 70,000 people there to see Red Grange.
Yeah. It's just funny how, you know, that's how it was in the beginning. But now you look at the difference. Not that college football isn't popular or financially successful. We've just talked about it. And everyone who complains about, I don't watch anymore because of the money. Get out of here with that bullshit.
Really? Yeah, absolutely.
I had a guy try that on me this weekend on the golf course. And I just kind of nodded like, oh, yeah, you don't watch now because of the money. Just say that you're 65, you got grandkids, and you don't care to watch sports.
Yeah.
Don't pretend it's the money, because all the stadiums were packed. The full pageantry of college football was alive and well this weekend. It's because people want to gather. People want to do things. They want to tailgate. They want to wear their jerseys. Yeah. They want to be with other people. Like, that's the beauty of college football right there. It's the social aspect more
Absolutely.
Than the games.
You know? I told you I'm a season ticket holder, so I attended my first Maryland game as a season ticket holder
and
Saturday.
They whooped ass, did they?
Yes,
not?
They did. And like you, I felt I could leave early. So when it was like 33-7 at the half, I left and got home in time to see the fourth quarter of Texas and Ohio State. But it was fun. I had a good time.
Florida Atlantic 39-7.
Right. Yep. So. It was, and they may have a quarterback in this Malik Washington, true freshman, look good, three touchdown passes. The problem is, if he's good, he's probably going to play someplace else for more money next year.
Yeah, kind of like your basketball team that went to the Sweet 16 and then they all left. All of them.
Not a single player is back.
It sucks. We hate it. But what's the option, Andy? Not watch our teams and our sports? That's never going to happen. We're in, even if it's suboptimal, right?
Well, and I'll tell you something. When you said this 20-some years ago, I kind of scoffed at it. But you said about the NFL, they're headed for blackouts because the HD television product is just too good. I didn't have HD at that point. And what they did was they did away with the blackouts because the revenue from the stadium is insignificant compared to the television. But that's what's happened with sports. They're so much more watchable now on these big screens that people are you know, gravitating to that. Yeah. So that's what keeps them healthy.
But yet, you know, prices for tickets in the NFL are continuing to go up and up, and there really aren't many super non-sellouts. Even the bad teams, generally speaking, fill their stadiums for one of the precious 8 games a year.
Right? Plus, they're building stadiums that aren't monsters anymore. It used to be, if you don't have 80,000, you got no shot to get a Super Bowl. Well, they had 61,000 2 years ago in Vegas. The new stadium that's going up for the Commanders when it gets built in 2030, it'll be 65. And that's what is fine now. It's okay because everybody else is watching on television and bringing in lots of money for the NFL.
Yeah. All right, let me end on this, Andy. I know that nobody really cares about the U.S. Open tennis tournament, but two fascinating things happened over the weekend. Fascinating thing number one was Carolina Mukova stopped her match and broke down in tears because she spotted her ex-boyfriend in the crowd. She said he shows up where he shouldn't be.
He's not allowed?
Well, yeah. So the world's number 13 player was serving down 1-4 against Sorana Cristea when she suddenly froze, gestured toward the crowd, and grabbed a towel to wipe her face. She apologized to the chair umpire for the brief delay before resuming play through tears. She explained afterwards it wasn't tennis-related. It was because her ex-boyfriend showed up, and he was just sort of stalking her, kind of. I don't think there's a restraining order. I think she just didn't want to see him.
Wow. And to get that distracted while you're playing tennis?
Right. So that's a bit much. That was story number one. The bigger story, though, is of this Polish CEO and millionaire businessman who stole the hat from a kid who was waiting to get it from one of the tennis players. Please tell me you saw this story.
I didn't, but this happens every night at baseball games. So kind of not a surprise, although was it the kid's hat or was it the player's hat?
Oh, Andy, you've got to see the clip. See if you can look it up right now. Are you on near a computer? You can't see it?
No.
Oh, my God. You know, and the funniest thing is this happened with our boy Solly when we went to a WWE match, and a little kid next to us thought he was going to catch the John Cena hat, and Solly jumped right in front of him and grabbed it out of the air and wouldn't give it to the kid.
Really?
Yes.
I've never seen Solly wear a hat. What was he going to do with it?
He just wanted it.
Wow.
So the CEO of this company unequivocally apologized Monday after he was seen on a viral video taking a hat signed by tennis player Kamil Majchazrak. The CEO, Piotr Siaczek, of the paving company Drogbruch, was caught on video and was instantly branded as the asshole of the century. The apology today, Andy, followed his threats over the weekend, saying that blaspheming a public person like that is subject to legal liability, and me and my lawyers will be reviewing the comments to see if any are actionable legally. So he was doubling down at first and then just realized, look, you're not going to win this. Fucking apologize. And by the way, get the hat to the kid, for God's sakes.
Isn't social media a warm and fuzzy thing?
You got to see that. You got to see the video, Andy. I'll send you a link to it. You can check it out. But it is it is so rude. Mm. I mean, the kid was just sitting there. The adult noticed the kid didn't pay attention for a split second. The kid turned his head for a split second right as the tennis player offered him his hat. The dad grabbed it. The kid looked at him like, hey, what? And the dad was just unapologetic and stuffed it into his bag of shit.
Wow, yeah. What a jackass. Bad guy.
Just a hat, for God's sakes. And remind me when, well, you're not going to be around, but I'm going to make a mental note to bring this up to Solly on Friday's edition of the Zabecast and say, so, remember when? And I'll hear Solly's spin on, that kid was never going to get it. I deserved as much as anybody. And I still have it in my house somewhere as a proud John Cena fan.
That's great. Well, whatever turns you on. Big game coming up a week from Thursday. Your new team, my old team.
Packers, Commanders. Let's go. Do you want to come up to Lambeau Field? Have you ever been?
I've not been to Lambeau, but that would not be a convenient time for me to go. But I will be watching.
That's good, because I've offered tickets to somebody else. So
good.
I was hoping for the Andy denial, so now I can say at least I offered. You know, it was
a pretty safe thing, much like you say, I see the Packers in Seattle, I'm going to the game staying with your son. I knew that wasn't going to happen.
I had great aspirations for
that. Of course you did. Of course you did. The best laid plans of mice and men. Of course.
Tell me I couched it in terms of this is aspirational and it's not really going to happen and don't worry about putting out sheets and towels for me just yet. I did say that, right?
Something like that.
Okay,
good. But I also said to my son, I know these are his intentions, but don't count on it happening.
All right. Shout out, Jeremy. I still would have loved to have come, but I didn't.
And they have a nice place. I stayed there last month. Nice.
I'm sure they do. What a life. Yeah. All right, Andy, thank you as always. Let's go football. The ride begins. We'll talk next week.
All right, Zab. Take care. When the dead lies ahead of me, seemed
impossible to face. Football is back. And so is winning season at MyBookie. NFL, college football, and a brand new cash-out system give you options on how to bet and to win all season long. First two legs of your parlay hit? Great. Get out while the getting is good. Cash out and use the funds on another bet. Or let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Use early cash-outs as a tool to stay in control of the action at MyBookie. To get started, go to MyBookie.ag now and register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. Just use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. And for a limited time, a free chip to use in the MyBookie casino. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.